Revelation chapter 14, we've got time just for one verse. One verse, Revelation chapter 14, and the title is, What Will Follow You Into Eternity? Does anything follow anybody into eternity? Have you ever gone to a funeral where you see, and you know, you've heard people talk about this, you've seen this hearse and you see a U-Haul trailer behind it? Obviously not. You ever seen where there's the U-Haul trailer and then there's a trailer behind the U-Haul trailer where you can put your car on it so the car is following him? And then they go to the cemetery and you've got this huge hole dug in the ground where they bury the casket and they bury the U-Haul trailer with everything in it and they bury that nice, beautiful car in that hole. No, that never takes place. Does anything follow a believer into heaven? With that in mind, let's read Revelation 14, 12 and 13. Here is the patience of the saints. Now, are there any saints here? Is there anybody here who knows Jesus Christ as your Savior? Then you are a saint. The Bible calls you a saint. Here is the patience of the saints. That word patience, it has to do with endurance. I endure. Every saint is an endurer or an overcomer. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice. Who heard a voice? John, the apostle, is writing this. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. Now, who is telling him to write? If you go back to chapter 1 and verse 19, it's Jesus Christ himself, the Alpha and the Omega, is saying, here's what I want you to write. Again, Jesus is saying to John, here, I want you to write something. Blessed. That word blessed means happy. If you go back to the Beatitudes of Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers. That means literally happy. Happy are they. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, happy are the, wait. Happy are the what? The dead? The dead? Have you ever seen a happy dead man? Have you ever, maybe you go to the casket and you see this man and the mortician put a smile on his face. You say, that's a happy man. You say, that's ridiculous. Happy are the dead. Which dead? Read on. Which die in the Lord. There are happy dead people. Because we know that what we see in the casket is not the person, it's the tent that person indwelt. What has died and gone on to heaven is happy, is blessed. And that's what we've got to keep in mind. But now it goes on to say, in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Lord, that they may rest from their labors. When I had the Thompson kids here earlier this morning, for those of you who don't know the Thompson kids, it's a family of, five or six kids. And I said, do you guys know what it means to rest after you've worked really hard? You know, it's like that. I say, now, does your mom and dad work? Yes. Do they ever come home and when they've had a hard day at work, they just collapse in the chair? That's labor. That they've worked so hard. You're going to get to the place one day where you're going to realize, you kids, what it means to really rest. Oh, I just want to rest. I just want to go to bed. Now, look at this. It says, that they may rest from their labors. That's the saint who has stayed under the load that he has. That's the saint who has endured. So he's going to rest from his labors. Now, let's stop just a moment. Go back to verse 11, because compare what you see happening to the saint in verse 13 with those in verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Now look at their rest. And they have no rest day nor night. So you've got the unsaved who will never rest for all eternity. And you've got those who have been saved who will rest from their labors. What labors? Those they did for the Lord. So it's not just any dead, but the ones literally who in the Lord are dying. You know, a coroner lists many ways a person may die. A coroner is to determine the cause of death. And he observes, and he or she, and they look at the body, and they determine the cause of it. In how many ways can a person die? And I did this in the last session, so I want you to help me. Tell me out loud some way that a person can die. A person can die of, tell me. Asphyxiation, okay. Heart attack. Cancer. Car accident. Gunshot. Bow and arrow. Falling off a cliff. Okay. How many ways are there? Probably millions of ways. But you know what? It really comes down to one of two things. There's really only two ways to die. You either die in your sins or you die in the Lord. And I'm not trying to be sacrilegious here, but the great coroner is the one who determines that. You either die in your sins or you die in the Lord. Jesus said this when talking about those who die in their sins, John 8:24, if ye believe not that I am he, if you don't believe that I am Jesus, that I am the Son of God, that I am the one who came to save man from their sin, if you do not put your faith and trust in me and me alone, here's what he said, ye shall die in your sins. Those are the people described in verse 11. Their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night if you die in your sin. But then there's that second way that we see right there in verse 13. Blessed are they who die in the Lord. In the rapture passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 on to verse 18, it talks about those who now sleep in Jesus. And he talks about the dead in Christ. What does that mean? Those who knew Jesus Christ as their Savior and they died. And in a passage, it talks about when Jesus Christ returns in the rapture, they, the ones who are dead and in the grave, their bodies will come first. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, those of us who are saved, who are still on this earth, will follow them in the rapture. The dead in Christ. So there's the dead in Christ and those who are of us who are right now alive in Christ. Okay? But the dead in Christ is what it's talking about here. And they are the ones who will rest from their labors. So, the importance of how you die is this. You had better die in the Lord. It's important that you know the Lord. Secondly, the importance of how you live. Last part of verse 13. That they may rest from their labors. So here you have your life's labors and then rest. As a believer who dies in the Lord, happy or blessed are you. That's contrary to what the world thinks of a Christian who dies. Again, you contrast this person with the wicked who have no rest day nor night. Your life's labors and then rest. Then you have your life's works and then rewards. Their works do follow them. So does anything follow a believer? Right there it says, their works do follow them. So you're not going to see at a funeral when it's a believer, you're not going to find a U-Haul trailer, but there is, you can almost envision it. I mean, just, you know how you guys, how we all imagine things. It's almost as if you could see a spiritual U-Haul following that believer. In fact, let's go just a little bit further, because for some believers, it will be an 18-wheeler. And not just one or two, it could be a convoy of 18-wheelers following that believer into their works do follow them. Spiritually, what are those works? It's what you've done for the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what I do for him, that's what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew chapter 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor dust corrupt and thieves do not break through nor steal. They can't get it. Lay it up in heaven. Those are the works that follow. Question, what will follow you into eternity? What's going to follow? I'll close with this illustration. My grandfather was saved in a revival service preached by the evangelist, Dr. R.A. Torrey. You've probably heard of R.A. Torrey. R.A. Torrey passed away in 1928. My grandfather was born in 1909. So somewhere between 1909 and 1928, my grandfather was saved in one of his meetings. My grandfather, Edwin Jacob Unruh, Edwin J., was instrumental in my father getting saved. Okay, R.A. Torrey was instrumental in my grandfather being saved. That's one of those things that's going to follow R.A. Torrey into heaven. But even after R.A. Torrey died in 1928, my dad was born in 1933, my grandfather, who was saved under R.A. Torrey, was instrumental in my dad getting saved. Guess what? R.A. Torrey's been in heaven for 92 years now. works are still coming behind. That's why I'm calling this 18-wheelers following. He is now being credited with the fact that he was instrumental going to where he preached that service there, wherever it was, where my grandfather was saved, and then my dad was saved under my grandfather's influence, and then I was saved under my dad's influence. Now, all of that is being credited to R.A. Torrey. That's what I'm saying. 18-wheelers? A convoy following him. And they, it keeps coming. I honestly believe that's what this is talking about. Now, what about me? What about you? Have I been instrumental in anybody getting saved? I trust so. Have you been instrumental in anybody getting saved? I trust so. But it's not just in leading people to Christ. It's all kinds of, it's the gold, silver, precious stones that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You may plant the seed, and somebody else may water, and somebody else may see the fruit take place. Christians ought to everywhere be planting the seed. You say, but we're under quarantine, I can't do anything. Let me ask you something. So who are you going to obey? Jesus said, go. The government says, stay. Who are you going to obey? Well, I'm quarantined. I can't do anything. Oh, really? Who's your boss? Now do it as much as you can in obedience. But there comes a point where we say, you know what? We must obey God rather than men. I have to do what God has called me to do.